ương cam kinh thi pha chờ lâm tâm gươm đăng kha yết ti kỳ linh yết kỳ linh pha tâm ham văn đi parma ananda madhavam. I bow down to Krishna, the embodiment of supreme bliss, through whose grace the lame scale mountains and the dumb become eloquent. May Krishna be the guide of our lives. Om Shanti, 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 peace. Bhagavad Gita, 17th chapter, Shraddhatrayo Vibhaga Yoga, the threefold divisions of faith. Krishna was trying to show three kinds of people in this world, Sattvic, Rajasic and Tamasic. And these three kinds of people have three kinds of faith, three kinds of puja, three kinds of lifestyle, three kinds of actions. Even whatever charity they give, that also of three kinds. Their spiritual disciplines also are of three kinds, which is very common in this world. We find some people are first class, second class, third class. Three divisions of faith, three divisions of human beings. Some are good, some are mediocre, some are lower grade. In the beginning, he discussed tapas, three kinds of tapas. The word tapas has a very deep meaning in Vedantic tradition. Without tapas, austerity, disciplines, none can achieve the highest. In the Kathu Upanishad, we found a student went to his father and asked the question about Brahman, the transcendental reality. The father said, Tapasa Brahma Vijigyasaswa. Please ask your question after practicing austerity. I may give you answer, you won't understand me. Right now I can tell you about Brahma, you won't understand. So the son went, left the father and practiced austerity, and came to him, and the father asked, what do you think about Brahma? He said, food is Brahma. I see. Father gave an indication, yatuba imani bhutani jayanti. Jena jatani jivanti, jat prayanta visamshanti, tad vijigyasaswa, tad brahmiti. From where this creation evolves, where it remains, and where it dissolves, that is Brahma. So he thought that whole beings, you know, originate from food. Without food, they cannot survive. If food sustains beings, all beings. And later on, after death, they become food. The father said, no, you could not understand Brahman, you go back. Then he understood prana is Brahman, then mind is Brahman, then intellect is Brahman, then bliss is Brahman. After five times, he understood what was real Brahman. You see, it needs some kind of discipline, practice. Otherwise you won't understand. Sri Ramakrishna said, only the doctor knows which pulse beat is right or wrong, whether it is whether in your system there is excessive amount of bile or cough or air, the doctor immediately can detect holding the pulse. If you know If you want to know about the thread, what count of thread in this fabric, you will have to go to a thread merchant. He knows all counts. If you know about medicine, you will have to go to a doctor. You will have to be an apprentice to a doctor. Similarly, if you want to know about God, about the spiritual life, you will have to go to a person who knows about it. Tapasa brahma vijikasa tapa. As I told you several times, if you practice austerity, a heat, a power will generate within you, knowingly, unknowingly. Sometimes I ask some people, if you are extremely restless, mind is in a very bad state, take a picture, holy picture, maybe Christ, Krishna, Ramakrishna, Buddha, or whom do you like, put in front of you, look at that picture and repeat mantra for an hour. Your mood will change. That means 1 hour steadily you practice tapas. The austerity, tapas, increases willpower, clears the cloud of the mind, brings various kinds of experiences in within. What are these tapas? Krishna says, Devadvija Guru Prajna Pujanam Shaucham Arjavam Brahmacharyam Ahimsacha Shariram Tapayuchati Anudvega Karam Vakyam Satyam Priyam Priya Ahitam Chaj Priya Hitam Chajat Svadhyaya Abhyasanam Chaiva Vangmayam Tapayuchati Mana Prasadaha Saumattam Maunam Atma Vinigra Bhava Sangshuddhi Itti Tat Tapo Manasam Uchati. Worship of the gods, of the twice born, of teachers, and of the wise, cleanliness, uprightness, continence, and non-violence, these are said to be austerity of the body. Words that do not give offense, and that are truthful, pleasant, and beneficial, and also the regular recitation of the Vedas, these are said to be the austerity of speech. Serenity of mind, gentleness, silence, self-control, and purity of heart. These constitute the austerity of the mind. First, he was trying that austerity must be practiced in 3 planes in human system. First, physical. Second, verbal. Third, mental. Now, physical austerity. Krishna says, first physical austerity is Devadija Guru Prajna Pujanam, worship. Gross, very gross. Ritualistic worship. As I sometimes say, Bajya Puja Adhama Adhama. Ritualistic worship is the lowest kind of worship. There are four kinds, there are various kinds of worship. Uttamo Brahma Sadbhavo. The highest worship is to think oneself as Brahma. I am Brahma. That is the highest worship. Dhyano Bhavastu Madhyama. Meditation is the second grade. Stutir Japa. Chanting the name of the Lord Japa. Or eulogizing God through hymns, through prayers. They are third grade worship. And the fourth grade worship is Majya Puja, ritualistic worship, which we do with flower and sandal things. So Krishna says, this puja, the gross people understand gross kind of worship. So this puja is a kind of austerity. To whom shall I worship? Krishna says, Deva, gods. Dija, Brahma, who maintains the spiritual culture. Puja means not necessarily you will have to worship flowers and sandal face. Respect. pay respect to these people. Then, because they maintain spiritual culture, the bija. Then pragya. Pragya means wise people of the society. If you are in trouble, he will give you advice. The path of righteousness, he will talk to you about the path of righteousness, morality, ethics. Deva, Deja, Guru, and the teacher. You worship these four people, pay homage to them. If I pay homage, what will happen? You will get their qualities and wisdom. They will share with you. That is physical. It is very physical, gross, visible. Shaucham. That is a kind of austerity. Cleanliness. Clean. Your body. Gross action. Clean your shrine. Clean the house. Arjavam. Arjavam means simplicity. This is also gross. Be simple. Be frank. That is austerity. It is very difficult to be frank and simple. They may sound very easy, but it is not so easy. Arjavam. Brahmacharyam, continence, purity, ahimsa, non-violence. These are all physical austerity. Well, Swami, you read physical austerity. You see, we have conception of physical austerity. We have seen some monks in the Himalayas. They mortify their bodies through hard disciplines. They, in winter time, they go in the iced water. In summer, they sit around the fire. Sometimes they lie down on the thorn. These are all physical austerities. But these austerities, Krishna did not approve. Those austerities sometimes are performed for name, fame, or some kind of motive, or some kind of ultimate goal. You see some kind of motive behind this. Physical austerity. Then, there was a beautiful story in Shiva Purana. There was a sage named Tunga, who was a great devotee of Shiva. One day his finger was cut and he saw a little white water came out, not blood. And he was so austere that his blood became water. Of course, it is a mythological story. How does he survive? I do not know. Then he became proud. He started to dance because he was thinking that he achieved something. Then Shiva appeared before him in disguise to remove the ego of his disciple. So in front of him, Shiva cut his finger and ashes came out from the finger. This is austerity, competition of austerity. Competition of austerity. Once a devotee came to Swami Adbhutananda and he said that, you know, you will not have to fast whole day. Why don't you eat something? It is on Shivaratri. He was fasting. You are supposed to fast. He said, eat something. Shiva will not be mad at you. And if you fast, you will feel uncomfortable. You may get headache. And when you will go to the temple for worship, you won't be able to concentrate. You will feel miserable. So it is better to eat and concentrate on God than not eating and feel miserable. He spoke from the common sense point of view, you see. It is better to eat something. Those who can do, you know, complete fasting, they are welcome to do. Next, anudbhego karam vakyam. Anudbhego karam. Don't you speak in such a way which may hurt people. Some people, you know, always try that I shall frighten you and create tension in your mind. It is very bad. A real yogi, a real spiritual person, is not supposed to frighten the people. If you do not practice these things, you will go to hell, eternal damnation for you, you are a sinner. A real spiritual person is not supposed to speak in that way. Krishna says, anudvegam karam vaikam. Udveg means which the words which create tension, fear, agony in the minds of a person. You are not supposed to speak those things to the people. Hellfire. Then Sittam, speak the truth. Priyam, pleasant things. Hitam, beneficial, uplifting, inspiring. Inspire people. Jajat, swadhyayo abhyasanam chaiva, swadhyay. Vedabhyas, study the scriptures. I remember our chanting teacher told me, when you feel a little depressed, chant. Chant these Vedic mantras. They are revelations of the seers of truth. Immediately you will get back inspiration and the mood. The Vedic mantras have that power. That is it. Swadhyabhyasanam Vedabhyas. Study those revealed scriptures. Vangmayam tapuchati. That is called tapasya on the verbal plane. There was a yogi named Sadashivendra in South India. He was a scholar and very much argumentative. And he was fond of defeating the opponents through arguments. That was his hobby. One day his guru said to him, my boy, when are you going to close your mouth? And that's it. He stopped talking and never talked in his whole life. Because his guru said, when are you going to close your mouth? And then one day he was lying down under a tree. He became a mystic yogi, putting a brick as a pillow under the head. And the village women were passing by to bring water from a lake. And they said, look, 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 here is a holy man. He renounced everything and he needs a pillow. He needs a pillow. Then they left. And he thought, well, these women are right. So he pushed the brick away and lay down, putting his head on the ground, you see. And the village women again were coming back from the lake with their water in the pitchers. And they again saw that holy man was lying down under the tree without pillow, without that brick pillow. Then they made comment, look, 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 he is such a woman, he is hurt, he is picked. He is so much, he has ego also. We made a comment and he threw away the brick. He threw away the brick. We see that, you know, he is very touchy. Still his ego is conscious, you see. He has a conscious ego. Then they left. Then he decided, if I do this, I will be criticized. If I do not do this, I shall be criticized. So henceforth, I shall not listen to any human being. I shall only listen to God and my indwelling self. Just see. You won't get escape from criticism. Buddha said that there was not a man in this world who was, who will be, and who is not subject to criticism. Even avatars are subject to criticism. What you speak of ordinary human beings. Swami Premananda told a beautiful story about Vangmayotapa. You know, don't hurt people. Don't say harsh things to a person and and giving pain. A bakshalya, a words penetrate inside like an arrow and causes injury inside, and it bleeds, heart bleeds. Just words. Swami Premananda gave a class in the monastery for the young monks. And he said, look, you boys sometimes go for relief work and serve people. The public raise money, buy rice, you know, and groceries and other things for distribution, and you boys distribute. These poor people come for this gold, rice, money, other things. Your duty is to serve them, not to hurt them. Serve them as if you are worshipping the Lord in the shrine. Then he told a story. During the time of coronation, Rama's coronation, Hanuman, Rama's devotee, great devotee, was the store in charge. And you see monkeys, do they call it monkey face, you see. If somebody would ask something, Hanuman will make a face on him. And he was very proud that he was a great devotee of Rama, you see. So Rama understood his pride. So to give him a lesson, he said to Hanuman, Hanuman, there is a sage who lives in the distant island. Only you can go there and please hand over my invitation to him so that he could attend my coronation. Rama's order, immediately Hanuman took that invitation letter and jumped and went to that far island and gave that letter to that holy man, a yogi. And Hanuman was amazed. He saw that the upper part of the yogi, half of the body, is a pig face, pig body. Upper part, pig body, and lower part, divine body. His lower part, just golden, you know, light, luminous. Lower part, divine. And upper part, pig. Then Hanuman gave that invitation letter, then that yogi said, all right, I must attend that Rama's coronation. Then Hanuman, out of curiosity, asked the yogi, could you explain to me why your body is like that? Then the yogi said, you know, in my previous life, I was a king. I did a lot of charity. As a result, I got a lot of virtue. And at the same time, for that reason, I got the half of my divine body. And I made face to many people. I hurt through words many people. As a result, I got this pig body. Hanuman got an answer. And then he came back and found that yogi was in front of Rama. And now, Hanuman got a boon from Rama, that nobody could see him without through Hanuman. When he asked, when Rama said, you brought him. The yogi gave a fruit to Hanuman, and Hanuman carried that fruit to Rama, and the yogi, through in a subtle body, entered the fruit and came to Rama. Anyhow, that is a beautiful story Swami Premananda told the young monks. To give them a lesson, be careful about don't hurt people. If you cannot help them financially or any other way, say a few sweet words that will give a little soothing to that suffering soul. Manu says in his scripture, Siktam Bruyat Priyam Bruyat, speak the truth, speak the pleasant truth. Na Bruyat Siktam Apriyam, don't speak the unpleasant truth. Priyam cha anritam vriyat, speak the pleasant but not untruth. Isha Dharma Sanatana. This is the eternal religion. Tapa. Tapasya. You see, these four yugas, Trita, Shvetra Yuga, the golden age, people would practice austerity. In Trita Yuga, people would practice knowledge. In Dwapara, people would practice sacrifice. And in Kali Yuga, this modern age, Dhanam, Dhanam Ekam Kalau Yugi, charity is the greatest austerity. Sri Ramakrishna says, those who have, give. Those who do not have anything, repeat mantra. That way you will be able to help people. Mana prasado sunnattam. Mental, what is mental austerity? Mana prasado. Peace of mind. Prasad. Prasad means tranquility of the mind. How does the tranquility of the mind come to a yogi? Maitri kuruna mudita upekshanam punya punya sukha dukha punya punya vishayanam bhavanata chitta prasadanam. Patanjali says, this is the way the yogi attains mental peace and mental tranquility. Maitri, friendship with the people. Kuruna shows compassion to the people. Mudita share joy, bliss with people. Upeksha, those who are horrible people, he becomes indifferent. In the beginning, in the initial stage, later he may help that yogi person, but the beginner of a yogi must be indifferent. Don't think you can do everything in this world. Christ, Krishna, Buddha, Ramakrishna could not do everything and you will do it. You can. Do as much as you can without disturbing your mental. Sumattam. Sumattam means akurat. Summa means there should not be any crookedness in the mind. Maunam, bhakshandam, control of the speech. Atma vinigram, control of the senses. Bhavana samshuddhi. Bhavana samshuddhi means purification of the thoughts. Bhavina lavati sarvam. Through thoughts, we achieve everything. Bhavena deva darshanam. Through deep thoughts, we see God. So, purify your thoughts. This is called mental austerity, mental tapasya. It not says, Shri Krishna is about to speak of three kinds of spiritual aspirants, but first he singles out three levels of sadhana, action, speech and thought. This is a usual distinction, but I want to stress that these three are separate only on the blackboard. In our lives, they have to be practiced together. Even in the first verse, which concentrates on the physical level of sadhana, my emphasis is on the mind. Jesus and the Buddha too emphasized that the mental state behind our speech and actions is at least as important as what we say and do. Perhaps it is even more important, since sooner or later, every mental state has to bear fruit in speech and action. Puja, in the first verse, usually means ritual worship, but the underlying meaning is deep reverence. The Gita is telling us what kind of people deserve our love? That is, what kind can give us a model for living, a shraddha of human purpose, higher than personal gain? I think this is one of the greatest handicaps young people face today. Very, very few grow up with a living example of these timeless values. When you look at the papers or at magazines or books, when we watch TV or go to the movies, we see such an utter vacuum of ideals. No one whose life we can emulate, in whose footsteps we can follow. Entertainers, business leaders, politicians, and sports figures are often held up as models in the media. they attract attention in one small sphere of activity. So people want to be like them in everything. How seldom do we see anyone who has made his life itself a work of art. These are the men and women who truly deserve our love and emulation. Those who know how to live with goodwill for all, how to work hard for the welfare of all, without being subject to selfish whims and caprices, resentments and personal vanities. Next, Krishna says, Shraddhaya paraya taptam tapas tapas tat trividham narai apalakhangshi bhir yuktai sattikam parichakshate satkaramana pujartham tapodambhina chaivajat kriyate tadiha proktam rajasam chalam adhrubam mūḍha grahīna ātmanu yat pīḍaya kriyati tapa parasvotsādanārtham vā tat tamasam udārritam. This threefold austerity, practiced with supreme faith by steadfast men without the desire for food, is said to be of the nature of sattva. The austerity that is practiced in order to gain respect, honor and reverence and for ostentation is said to be of the nature of rajas. Its result is uncertain and transitory. The austerity that is practiced with a determination based on foolishness, by means of self-torture, or for the purpose of ruining another, is declared to be the nature of tamas. Now, Krishna is dividing this austerity into three, according to the three gunas. The Shattvic austerity, Shraddhaya Paraya Taptam, it is practiced with deep faith and love. Afala Kangshi Vi, without any motive, without any desire. Yuktai, and with deep meditation. Yuktai means Samahita San, being immersed in the thought of God. The practice austerity. The Rajasic austerity, Satkaro Mano Pujartham Tapo Dambhi Nachi Vajat. Satkaro. Satkaro means, hey, look how much austerity I have practiced, pay respect to me. And that is, I am a big yogi, body besmeared with ashes and long hair, you know, expect attention. Satkaro, please serve. Mano. Mano means praise. They demand eulogy. Pujartham. They demand worship. Dambhena tapo chaivaja. And the austerity which is practiced out of ego. Kriyate tadiha pruktam. Kriyate. Dambhena chaivaja kriyate taps tadiha pruktam putitam. Kadachit follows, and what is the result of this type of austerity? Krishna says chalam and adhrubam. Two adjectives. Chalam means very shaky, you know, uncertain. Chalam. Shaky, uncertain. And adhrubam means transitory. That austerity does not last long. The result, you will see people will pay you respect a few days. The moment your inside will come out, they will see that you are greedy, you are very demanding, they will give you up. Enough yogi I have seen. It demands too much. There's too much ego. Krishna says, they are exposed very quickly in the society among the people. Rajasic. You can see, feel it, that this person has show. He wants to express himself. Nagmasha used to say, Jato hai gupto, tato hai prupto. Jato hai bhakto, tato hai takto. The more it is hidden, the more it becomes strong. The more it is exposed, the more it becomes, it fritters away, it goes away. मूढ़ ग्राही न आत्मनु यत पीड़ाया क्रियते तप विदाउट एनी डिस्क्रिमिनेशन टॉर्चरिंग वन सेल्फ ए तामसिक पर्सन प्रैक्टिसेस ऑस्टेरिटी व्हाई कृष्ण से परो परस्य उत्साधनार्थम टू डिस्ट्रॉय समबडी व्हाट डू मीन स्वामी ए पर्सन प्रैक्टिसेस ऑस्टेरिटी टू डिस्ट्रॉय समवन एल्स श्योर I want to destroy my enemy. So I shall practice some kind of ritual at night and repeat some mantra. And if Lord appears, allow it, destroy that person. Harboring ill feeling all the time for others. Really, are there people in the society? Many, many people are in the society and among the relatives also. The moment they will say, oh, you have a good car and I do not have car, oof. Oh, there are some horrible people in this society. They are tamash. Tamashic people, full of tamas. Mudho grahin atmanu mudho. Akbar deluded, blind. They have no discrimination. They do not know that if you think ill of others, you are actually destroying yourself. That Maharaj used to say, if Paraninda Paracharcha Apekha Gumano Bhala, it is better to sleep than to criticize or, you know, gossip, than to criticize others or to gossip about others. It is better to sleep. Mudho Grahin Atmana Yat Pidaya Kriyate Tapa, they torture themselves. I was reading in the newspaper, some extremist, how much austerity they practice. They go to a foreign country, they take this guerrilla warfare, they know how to make this bomb and put that bomb inside the radio and put that transistor and put the transistor into the bus and then jump from the running bus and that, you know, some innocent people open that radio and that bomb blasts and hundreds of people are killed. And this person, how much meditation, austerity practice to kill this people? It is tapas. Without tapasya, he could not kill people. There is tremendous thinking on how to run away. A destructive force. They are tamas, full of tamas. They are born to destroy people. And they destroy themselves. Do you think these people will get back, say, will be saved? They will be killed. Either today or tomorrow, they will be killed. They live in fear. That is worse than death. The people who are martyrs and all these things, do you think they can sleep happily? They do not sleep. You see that killed souls, you know, on him. I read a case history of Jung, you see, dream, case history. I used to read all those case histories. A murderer, after many years, he was never caught, but he had no sleep. Many years. At last he came to Jung and he told him that what he did in his life. And I see the dead person's soul is attacking me at night. I yell, I shout, I cannot sleep, I live in fear. But he was not caught. Sin follows that person. Next, Eknath wrote a long commentary on this passage. Even among spiritual aspirants, Sri Krishna says, you will find three types according to the dominant guna. The lowest place of the ladder, of course, is reserved for tamas, who may scarcely know why he is practicing spiritual discipline at all. His understanding of them is mostly physical. Such misunderstandings can cause serious problems, particularly if an aspirant does not have a good, reliable, loving teacher to whom he or she gives undivided loyalty and respect. Those who are acutely aware of their physical existence, who live for the satisfaction of the senses, soon find that separateness becomes a compulsion, a kind of cult, from which they cannot easily escape. Even so, by the law of his love and his personal example, a good teacher can often manage to instill a higher Shraddha, a self-image that is spiritual rather than physical. The practical purpose of the theory of the three gunas is to show us how to change. Nobody is stuck in a negative state. Even to someone who suffers from acute emotional paralysis, sunk in lethargy, and unequal to any challenge, the Gita offers boundless hope. It does not play Pollyanna. Sure, it agrees that is your present condition. The analysis is as precise as a doctor's diagnosis. You are in the state of tamas. Those are the signs and symptoms. You are a block of ice. Don't you say of someone who is emotionally paralyzed, he is a very cold person, or of someone who can't form relationships, who can't find herself a place in life, she has got an ice personality. But the Gita not only gives the diagnosis, it also presents the cure. Just as a glacier can melt into a mighty river, tamas can thaw, turn into rajas, and be harnessed into sattva by any of us if we are willing to put in the effort it requires. These verses, with the previous three, give some very important instructions for entering the deeper stages of meditation. There is a significant difference between what I call the first half of sadhana and the second half. In the first half, we have a wide margin for making mistakes, but in the second half, the margin becomes very narrow. What may seem a small mistake in the eyes of the world can then become quite large. And if we slip and fall, the suffering is that much greater because we are falling from a greater height. Next. Dātavyam iti yad dānam diyate anupakārini deshe kāle ca patre ca tad dānam sattikam smritam jattu pratyupakārārtham phalam uddishya vāpunaha diyate ca pariklishtam tadanam rajasam smritam adesho kale jadanam apatre bhascha diyate asatkritam avajnatam tatamasam udarritam. The gift which is made to one whom can make no return and with the feeling that it is one's duty to give, and which is given at the right place and time and to a worthy person, such a gift is held to be of the nature of sattva. But that which is given for the sake of recompense, or with the expectation of fruit, or in a grudging mood, is accounted as of the nature of rajas. And the gift that is made without respect or with disdain, at an improper place and time, and to an unworthy person, is declared to be of the nature of tamas. Dan, charity, is very important. You see, some people make charity and they may incur sin. If you give a big donation to the mafia, what will you get? You get 2 tons sin. They will murder so many people, they will do so many hodgepodge things in the society. All these things, sins will go to you. Well, Swami Vedanta does not believe in sin. Well, you will suffer from various kinds of evils, ailments. Dan. Dan means charity. D-A-N. Danam. Charity purifies the mind. You do not make charity until and unless your mind is unselfish. Only an unselfish person makes charity. A selfish person cannot make charity, and he pauses. He's, his nature, you know, possessive nature, he possesses the things. Dātaibvam iti jaddhānam dīyate anupukarin. Anupukarin means you will have to give charity to a person, to such a person who has no capacity to return. Poor people. One rich doctor came here one day and he was telling me that he has a nursing home. He gave 1 guinea to each of his colleagues. They are doctors, you know, they are earning thousands. And he is giving presents to these rich doctors. I smiled, very good. But he said, you know, I just warmed them up, you know. They think that this nursing home is one of the best in this country. He was praying. And how his son is building another home for the old people. Money-making machine, you see. But he bought the Gospel of Ramakrishna. I hope one day he will read it. First, the Kamini Kanchan Maya, last and golden Maya will knock him out in the very beginning. Very rich man. I would be happy if you would give those guineas to that poor nurses, you know, they make $3-4 per hour, or $5-6 per hour. He gave to the doctors. They are earning money. In our country, there is a thing that a person has a lot of oil on his head and you are pouring more oil. And you are giving donation to the rich people. But good is that type of donation. Give these people those who really need, those who deserve. You give donation to what is called Anheuser Busch and McDonald Douglas people. They are rich already. They don't need any donation. For that reason, did I tell you, when I was 9, 10 years old, now in our village library, we found Robin Hood and King Kong and all these Tarzan's books, you know. I used to read all those things. Then I was reading all the uncle, Robin Hood is my, you know, is my hero. He is the best man I have ever seen in my life. Because he robbed the rich people and distributed among the poor. He was my hero for many years, you see. 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, all that year range. Robin Hood was the only good person I have ever read in my life. Now, when I read those things, I smile. Of course, Mahabharata, when I read Mahabharata, Arjuna was my hero. Great. Anupukane. Deshe kale cha patre cha. You will have to give charity according to the place, according to time, according to the person. Leshwami, what desh in the holy place, Kurukshetra, Banaras, you see, there you give charity. Then you will get it. A lot of virtue. Please show me why not in other places, you see? You mean that in those places some holy people live, poor people, those who try to live in God without any possession. If you give charity to those people, you will get result. I remember in 77, I met an old monk in Vrindavan. He's our monk. Old monk. He said, Chetananda, I appreciate your gift. I said, Maharaj, I did not send you any gift. No, you sent some money to a monk and that monk sent me that money and I bought a blanket and I bought some groceries from that money. I did not write to you, but I appreciate you. I sent some money to a monk and that money has gone to the Himalayas to another old monk who was practicing austerity. And last time I met him in Benares again and in his room I had a long talk. Very austere person. He is in his 70s, still very austere. If you give a little bit, whereas he brought a blanket, you know, in that cold Himalayas, he survived. Chanting Lord's name, past his days. If you give charity to them, that he said, they see that place, kale, time, when they need patri and the person. That charity is the real charity. That is shaktikam. Otherwise, I want to give charity, money to a rich Mohanto, a big abbot. He has already give to the poor. Those who need. Jattu pratyupakara artham phalamuddishya puva puna. Those who give charity, expecting reciprocal, I shall give you a Christmas gift and I expect that you must give me something more valuable, you see. That is Rajasham. Diyateja puriklishtam tad danam Rajasham smritam. I am giving charity to this Brahmin and one day he will help me. And I am giving charity to these people in the holy place so that I may go to heaven. All this calculation is going on inside, you see. Calculative charity, charity based on calculation. This is Rajasa. No good. Adesho Kali, or Krishna says, Adesho Kali, meaning in a bad place to the bad people. Adesho Kali Yadanam Patribhishya Diyati Apatribhishya Anupajukta, unfit people, you could give charity to the unfit people with money which will not be used properly. That is Tamasta. Suppose some young kids, I saw in Calcutta, some young kids will come to you and say, we shall do the Durga Puja, mother worship, please give charity, donation, subscription. Whereas that money they will use, they will use very little money for worship and most money will be spent for entertainment parties. Food, entertainment. With artists, musicians, they will bring movie actors and actresses. Most of the money will be spent for that. Anyhow, be careful about charity. Saint Francis tells us, it is in giving that we receive, but the Shraddha of our times is that it is in grabbing that we receive. Very few people today, I think, believe that giving for the sake of giving is even possible for a human being, let alone desirable. Dr. Hans Sille, a good man determined as a biologist to be realistic, finds nothing higher in human nature than altruistic egoism. Give your best so that you may receive the best from others. This is perhaps the highest view we can take when we believe that human nature is wholly physical. But the Shraddha of Saint Francis reaches higher to show us our real human stature. In these verses, therefore, I take the broadest view of giving. Dana here does not mean only gifts that are wrapped in decorative paper and tied with ribbons and bows. It can also refer to giving support, love, time, attention, or skill. And though I shall begin by describing individual giving, the scope embraces business, charity, public aid, and all the service professions. Shatta provides the standard. Shattvic giving, simply put, helps the other person to grow, which of course is something that cannot be clearly seen without detachment. As Sri Krishna says here, you must understand the time, the place, and the person to whom you are giving. The application is startling, for it often leads to just the opposite of what we would ordinarily do. To someone who is compulsively attached to money, for example, money is the last thing we should give. It would only strengthen the samskara, deepen the compulsion. Similarly, to someone compulsively attracted to pleasure, opposites to indulge that compulsion are not a shattvic gift. They would make that person more selfish. All right, you can ask me questions. Tapa, ahara, tapa, danam. Then again in the 18th chapter, Krishna will divide these things into three groups. Jigna, dana, tapa. Tapa, tapa, tapa. Otherwise, pata, pata, pata. Tapa, T-A-P-A. If you reverse it, it becomes pata, P-A-T-A. Do you know how does it